What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two-time in the house. What up, Jeremy? What's good?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Solly Saul. What do you got for us today, man? It's a special one, so...
Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody, to The Salty Show. Today, we are going to have a special guest with us who is at the front lines of the fiasco going on in California. Power grab from Gavin Newsom. We're going to dedicate this episode to that. We'll interview her, bring her on right away. But thank you for joining us on this episode. I'm a little disappointed, guys. Come on, you let me down.
Salty Show.
What is going on? .com. There. Okay, so we decided to reach out to a group that we found online. Timmy actually was online, found this group that is actually doing the Lord's work out there in California. We all know the news that's coming down from California, so we decided to invite them, send them an invitation. They have agreed to come on. So we're in the midst of a quarantine nationwide, and while some states are opening up, liberal states are dragging their feet. California being one of those states. At this moment, it's unsure when they're going to reopen it up for all businesses. However, we are seeing more and more resistance from many residents that are fed up with Gavin Newsom and his attempt at a power grab. With us today is one of those groups that is gaining momentum. Reopen California is their social media presence name, and they are on the front lines fighting the crazy leftists and demanding that the state reopen all business because everyone, according to them, is essential. Hello, Krista. Welcome to The Salty Show.
I was totally surprised and impressed and really just honored that you guys, that you reached out, and I'm excited to do this.
Tim was the guy leading that effort. Tim, so if you want to say a few words as far as why we decided to reach out to this group.
I came across, you know, just it says people that you might want to follow or something on Instagram. And it said Reopen California. And it was really interesting because I was like, huh, that's like a big trend going on right now. You had hashtag Reopen Michigan, hashtag Reopen California, Reopen Las Vegas. So when it wasn't an actual hashtag, I said, oh, let me check it out. So I reached out because I was like, hey, I was like, you know, we've between what we're doing on the show with the way we feel and we're trying, you know, we want to get the message out there and explain to people what's going on. We're not on the front lines because obviously, you know, we're in Phoenix and in Pennsylvania. So we wanted to reach out to you because we think it's remarkable what you're doing. Cause you know what, yeah, that it takes a lot of risk to do that. Can you give a little overview of what the Reopen California movement is? Obviously it's reopening, but what is it? What was the driving factors? What was like the straw that broke the camel's back?
The reason I actually started this page was because, you know, there are Reopen California groups on Facebook, a lot of them, and their events were being censored, taken down, not able to post. So I wanted to, and I know a lot of people are not on Facebook. I'm not any longer. So I wanted to open up a place where we could basically network and events could be posted and all up and down the state. I'm in Southern California. I can't be at every event and I haven't been at every event, but it's important to me that every single person who has an event to post, who's willing to make a sign and stand on the corner, has a little bit of, has a little bit of publicity. So that was the purpose for my, I was inspired by the initial marches and protests. And I think the first ones I heard about were in San Clemente, a guy by the name of Alan Hostetter. I think you probably follow him, Alan. He used to go by Alpha Yoga OC, and he recently changed his name. Yeah, you know, okay. So he was doing this every Sunday in San Clemente. I'm not sure when he started. And then there started popping up protests in my town, which is in Huntington Beach. And I was inspired by that. And I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was I have two children that are living in a critical time in history, and I'm concerned for their future. And this is, I mean, everything that's going on right now, all these protests are front and center, in my opinion. I mean, some days we don't do school. This is it. This determines the course of their entire future, the future that they'll grow up in.
How did you initially feel about the nationwide lockdown initially, and how has that changed? You know, because I think a lot of people initially were like, okay, you know, we'll give this 2 weeks, but then, you know, this has been dragging on. So how did you initially feel, and how do you feel now with the nationwide lockdowns, and how some states, California included, are saying, hey, we're going to extend this and we don't know till when?
Yeah. From the I think the best feeling that I can use, the word that I can use to describe that feeling, is ominous. I've had an ominous feeling, and I think I have maybe a perspective that's unique to a lot of other people, because I've been a part of, and I've been following the medical freedom movement in California for many years. We were affected by several laws that have been passed, most recently SB 276 in 2015. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but that was when the state of California removed any and all objections to vaccination. It narrowed the scope of what is allowed to be classified as a medical exemption for vaccines in order to be admitted into school. Okay. And you basically have to almost have died and come back to life in order to qualify for a medical exemption. So I've been watching, and the timing of SB 276 and the speed with which it was passed was interesting, because I'm sure you remember that that happened right after the measles outbreak at Disneyland. So there was, I think in 2015, a case of measles, I think it ended up being 32 cases in total. That was the outbreak that they used to justify this law. And so I was really a part of fighting that law. And so I have the perspective of seeing how the media and the government uses the fear of illness and the threats against our health to really control people, because nobody except for the parents of medically fragile children was really against SB 276. And that was a problem. It didn't affect anyone, so they didn't really care. When I saw that the media and the government is starting to use the threat against our health against us, I had a very ominous feeling, because I've seen where it leads. It basically led to a choice of either a forced vaccination or no school for you in California. So, and not that I was thinking, oh, this is not that my thoughts right away went to, oh, we're all going to be forced vaccinated. That was not my thought. But my overall feeling was that this is really big, and it's going to be used to control us, and it's going to be used to usher in, some new mandates, and we have no idea what's coming. I really just had that sense. How it's changed, it's changed in that I don't know if I could have imagined how quickly everything has gone to hell. I mean, overnight. And here's my biggest issue is not even with the state, because I don't trust the state, especially the state of California. I don't trust them to not take any opportunity they can to do things like this. They love it, right? Mm-hmm. My issue is with the compliance of everybody over what, watching the news. You saw something on the news, it made you afraid. There's zero critical thinking going on. zero right now. Everybody wearing masks. And don't even, yeah, I don't even want to talk about the mask situation, but
so, you know, that's a very interesting point. So when the lockdown started on March 20th, Gavin Newsom, on March 20th, signed an executive order for a statewide shutdown of 40 million plus people. I say the plus because obviously there's more than probably 40 million. At that time, 900 people in the state of California, 900 confirmed cases tested positive, 19 deaths. Shut down the state for those numbers. 900 tested positive, 19 deaths. Their models, because, we all love models, right? So I just want to, give a little backstory. Their projection said 56%, which equals 25.5 million, will get it over 8 weeks. We are well past 8 weeks now, ladies and gentlemen. And 56% of the population turned out to be on May 14th. 71,141 confirmed cases in the state of California. Let that sink in. 56%, 25 million on March 20th, 71,000 confirmed May 14th.
Yeah, but that's not even the people. That's not even the people who have died from it. The people, it's like under 3,000, I think, the people who have died. But that's what I'm saying.
So that's what I'm saying, the confirmed cases.
Yeah.
So the
deaths, a confirmed case is not, you got it. You overcame it. Only 3,000 people have died. I mean, and every death is tragic. However, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it doesn't equate to shut it all down. I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead. Continue.
Right. So I just wanted to put this in perspective for my question. You know, because you see on the news, Huntington Beach is protesting, the media, and everybody likes to say that whole area because it's more conservative. You know, you get the traditional conservative negative stints of, they're called neo-Nazi, the typical, bad, stupid things people say. Who are showing up to the protest, right? Is it just small? Is it business owners? Is it, minorities and Caucasians? Is it liberals and Republicans? Is it everybody in between? Is it everybody coming together outside of politics, or is this more of, you see more of a political division even at these, at these events where, it's mostly people that are, lean more conservative and want to, not have, the government mandates?
I see there are quite a lot of people who are using these as Trump rallies, which I'm really invested in not making this political at all, because it's not political. It's a constitutional issue, and it's basically a freedom in our way of life issue. So there are definitely, of course, there are a lot of conservatives there, and like I said, they bring their Trump flags, and that's okay. I'm glad they're there. That's fine. But I have met a lot of people, less so. Most of them are conservative. They are there to support the president and to basically declare that they're against Newsom. But I have met other people who are not of that, do not believe, they're not, I don't personally know if they're liberal or if they're apolitical, I don't know, but they're not there for that reason. They're there because they see this as a human rights issue. I met other people, I have met several business owners, several, a lot of people who are in careers where they're really falling through the cracks, like fitness trainers, independent hairstylists, tattoo artists. These people are not, they're not eligible necessarily for unemployment benefits. They maybe got, they're not eligible for a payroll protection loan. They're totally falling through the cracks. So I meet those people, and those are the people I really try and connect with when I'm there. and really, you know, document why they're there. I saw one, speaking to the political question again, I did see one sign a few weeks ago, a guy that said Democrats against a lockdown, which I was trying to catch up with him because I really wanted to talk to him, but I appreciated that he was there because I really don't, and this goes back to the critical thinking. It just seems like this issue is so divisive. I have friends who hate Trump and they think this lockdown is great. They're not, they just think Newsom is doing the right thing. Where he, you know, they have, there's no perspective. That's all political for them. So they're not even willing to consider anything beyond that. I've also, at the Board of Supervisors meeting last week, there were a group of Vietnamese women there. They were nail salon owners. And that's another big, big population that I think is really being harmed right now, especially since, I don't know if you saw an article recently, but it said, it said the first case had been tracked to a nail salon. I'm sorry. That's horse shit. Like that is, they're trained in sanitation procedures. And number one, number two, who investigated that? How do you prove that? How do you do that? This is an attack. This is my opinion only. This key lockdown is Newsom's attack on small businesses, because who are the last free people, like really, truly free people? Small businesses. Mm-hmm. They're independent. Newsom doesn't want anyone of us independent. He has all of us exactly where he wants us, staying at home, receiving a check from Daddy Newsom.
Every single person, you know, yes, we don't want to, you know, we want support from all different walks of life and from all sides of the aisle. And however, there is one side that is standing vehemently opposed to this. And you probably haven't heard all our shows, but you know, from the beginning, I have been saying, look, guys, this is, you know, even what Donald Trump is doing, what he's suggesting to me, this is a bad idea to shut the country down, to defeat a virus that where people recover from 90%. This is not good, and it shouldn't be a political issue, like you say. Everybody should be united against these, because power corrupts. People are corrupted by power. Newsom, like you said, he wants people dependent on the government, because once people depend on the government, then they're going to rely, and then they're going to be able to pass anything that they want to pass. So. Again, you guys are in the front lines. I went down through your videos and like I said, you guys are recording a lot of stuff that's out there. That's awesome. And you know, I know there's other events that are coming, but one question that I did have for you is, you know, we see a lot of videos of police officers out there, you know, enforcing it in some states, and some states not so much. How is it in California? You know, because we watch the videos, but you've been out there in some of those protests. How have the police responded towards these marches and these protests? What's the common theme out there from the law enforcement agencies? Are they not enforcing this, or are they following Newsom's orders? What's going on out there?
Well, you saw. Or Tim, you said you saw the Denise, Tara, and Heidi being arrested along with Pastor Tim and about 28 other people, I think, up in Sacramento. And so up there, I wasn't there, but that didn't look good. You know, that didn't look good at all. I know that Tara, Heidi, and Denise are on Gavin Newsom's list. I can't say that it was personal, but they've been at the Capitol a lot over the medical freedom issue. He knows who they are. He knows exactly who they are. So I wasn't surprised that that happened. I can't say that, you know, he gave orders to get those three women, but I thought that was unfortunate. From what I've heard in Fresno, Lancaster, there have been a lot of like little ones. no incidents that I've heard of. I have to speak about Huntington Beach, where I've I've been. The law enforcement has been great, absolutely great. I couldn't compliment them highly enough. And I'm pretty objective when it comes to, I'm not like a thin blue line supporter. I try and be really objective about everything, you know, because police officers are people, but they've been amazing. And there was an incident at the last rally. There's a guy who I met at one of the first rallies I attended, and he attends a lot of them. He travels a lot. And I kind of started realizing as I talk with him and as I see more and more of his videos and have more interactions with him, that he's like something of an agitator. So, he did something, he agitated basically last time. He was the one, I don't know if you saw this, he jumped the pier. He was trying to rile people up to get us to storm the pier. And that's not what we're there for. We weren't even there to open the beach. I'll talk about that in a minute also. But, he jumped the pier, he ran up, and the police were they really made it a non-issue. They unlocked the pier, slowly drove, got him. I mean, it was really a non-issue. So I really give it to our Huntington Beach Police Department. In fact, at the first big rally where there was a big gridlock loop, they were directing traffic. They've been great. Other than Sacramento issuing arrests, no problems that I've been made aware of.
Same thing in LA?
I haven't heard. I don't know. I wasn't at LA. I'm in touch with some people who were at LA. They didn't. I think the police officers were a little bit rougher when they were directing people, because of course they were in front of Garcetti's house. So that may have been a bit more of an urgent, you know, like they needed to be more vigilant, but I wasn't made aware of any arrests. I don't know. I can't confirm if there were, but yeah, it looked like it was fine. A lot of cool speakers there. I don't even know all their names.
So I have a question. We're mid-May now, and LA has just extended the stay-at-home order until July. How do you guys feel about that out there?
I have a lot of people asking me for an event. They want an LA event. The order, I think, was just announced yesterday. Or the night before yesterday. I had a lot of messages, been doing a lot of emails. I was on the phone with a lady this morning to try and get something together for LA. The people who live in LA, they're desperate. The messages I'm getting, they're desperate. I had one message that said, please, please help us. My family won't make it another 3 months. They're losing hope. They're desperate. It's really sad. It's really sad because I'm here in Orange County, which we're sort of in our little conservative bubble, really. And, you know, there's no enforcement, even of the beach closures. We're supposed to be only there from 5 to 10 a.m. There's no enforcement. There's really Huntington Beach, especially Newport Beach, a lot of our cities are just kind of doing what they want. LA is doubling down. Hmm. As Orange County sort of relaxes, LA is doubling down. And I can sense the oppression. I sense the oppression from people even just through their messages. And so it's heartbreaking to me. It's heartbreaking. And I had one girl, who was going to be at the rally, messaged me in the morning. And she said, I can't make it. My nephew, he just committed suicide. He was 18 years old. I mean, this is happening. This is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the isolation is not just physical. You know, I even experienced this in myself and in my own home with my oldest daughter, especially being physically isolated is not as bad as being, I guess, intellectually, emotionally, and socially isolated. So when everybody out there is wearing masks, when everybody is giving you dirty looks, when everybody is acting like, you know, you're selfish and you're going to kill their grandma for going to the beach or going outside or just living your life, that's very isolating. I can't, there are a lot of people in my life I can't really talk to because they're drinking the Kool-Aid.
You know, you mentioned that to me that this is crazy. And I was telling the guys this the other day that a lot of the stuff that people are implementing in the name of goodness turns out to be evil. And one of the things I shared the story with them. You know, my mom recently got sick out in Arizona. She got sick, had to go to the hospital. And then in the hospital, nobody could be with her. Mm-hmm. Nobody could be with her because the corona. And my mom was scared. You know, she doesn't like hospitals. But, you know, oh, for her goodness, they scared the shit out of her. And to me, that's evil. That's wrong. And it angers me. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of people out there. You know, I have these friends on social media who are like, guys, you know, remember to, you know, and they are hook, line, and sinker, have bought this hysteria. And so my question, one of the questions to you is, what message do you want to convey to the person that doesn't agree with reopening California or reopening up some of these counties that are being stringent with the rules? What message do you wish to convey? And I'm assuming that's the ultimate goal of this group, this Reopen California social media site that you've started. What would you like to say?
The first, my initial approach with that is to try and appeal to reason and rationale. And so I'll talk about the numbers and then I'll give some context for that. For instance, the flu deaths, you know, from last year. I'll do my best because I trust that people, once they can get past their fear, the light bulb will go on or off and on whatever. And they'll realize, oh, maybe this isn't justified. So that's my hope, is to appeal to people's sense of reason.
It's really the only thing you can do, right?
Yeah. And also I tell people, you know, I can't prove it, but my daughter, I'm totally convinced my daughter, because there are some people who are still really scared, like really, really afraid to catch the COVID coronavirus. And so to them, I always will tell them, well, you know, my daughter had it. She goes to a school that's probably maybe about half Chinese. It's an international school. And they all went home for Christmas and they all came back. And the funny thing was, they were wearing their masks for about the month of January, and then they took them off. As soon as everyone else started wearing them, they stopped wearing them. It was really interesting. I was not sure why, but I spoke to a nurse, and she had it in the beginning of February, so it didn't even occur to me that it just seemed like a flu. She was just really sick, laid on the couch for 3 days, but. The reason I'm convinced that she had it is because one of the hallmark symptoms is that you lose your taste of smell and you lose your sense of smell and taste. And she had both of those things, which was really strange because she wasn't congested. It was just a total loss of those two senses. And so, you know, when they're like, oh, I don't know about those numbers. Oh yeah, they've debunked those numbers. Then I kind of try and say, well, listen, this happened in our house and we're okay. I mean, I have an 85-year-old dad. I don't want him to die. You know, I try and be really reassuring, but I'm not, as far as the goal with the protests, I'm not disillusioned to think that those are going to have a great impact right away. But my hope is that they're great for morale. I believe that. And my hope is that more and more people will join up as they see more and more people out, because everybody's afraid to be that one person who dissents. Even if, you know, I think a lot of people are thinking, yeah, this doesn't make much sense. You know, I've had family members who are starting to come around. So when they see people out in numbers, I think I think that gives people confidence to join and to really maybe change their way of thinking. I will say that I think we did have an impact at the Board of Supervisors meetings, because the Board of Supervisors, they're not, you know, Gavin Newsom and the state capitol, they're used to protest. Everybody has an agenda. Everybody has something that they're against. So that's kind of part of their job. But your county Board of Supervisors, they're kind of just used to driving up to the hall administration, going in their meetings, doing their votes and going home. They get dissent to a degree, but not like the pressure that we're trying to put on them, and especially not right now. So I think that at the county level, we did have an impact, but what's unfortunate is that they're not going to officially reopen, because they'll lose the funding, that the consequence will be too great. So, but showing up at the meetings, speaking, not just the rallies and protests, but doing other things. I sat in on the special committee meeting for pandemic preparedness. And, so at the very end of that, you get to voice your concerns. They give you about a minute to speak. And that was, you know, obviously by Zoom. It was a call-in. So, I mean, I think every little bit helps. We have some good senators, just not enough in California. Shannon Groves is great. John Morlach is great. Majority are Democrat, but our movement is growing.
No, I think it's funny, because I was actually going to touch on the whole, what have you done at the local level? Right. I was going to ask about that, and you touched on that. And I think it's great, because, you know, obviously, you know, they don't want to deal with the consequences of, you know, losing funding or whatnot. I mean, you guys paid for that funding through taxes, and, you know, it's a shame that that would be taken away. But it does start at the local level. I've learned it seems that if you can get all the local, you know, municipalities, local governments on board, then they can go to, because everybody's united. You know, the state can't take it out on everybody, right? And of course, there's going to be those one or two, you know, local municipalities that are going to, you know, side with the governor because, you know, whether they're friends or it's a political agenda. But my main thing is, what do you say to everybody, you know, to those naysayers that, as you're growing, that are truly still fighting you? You know what I mean? I know we said like what you want to change, but how do you feel like, I mean, what's been the backlash at the rallies, right? So, and at the marches, right? So are you getting the anti-protesters there, or are they too afraid to even show up to protest you guys because they don't want to get sick?
You know, that's funny. You'd think they would be afraid, and there are not really, I haven't seen any anti-protester, not in anything I have been at, and not in big numbers, but there are people, because we did have a gridlock loop. So it's really easy to drive by from your car and, you know, flip someone the bird. So we do have those people. There was a guy who was just sitting in his car yelling at all of us to go home. And I can't, what can I say to that? Because I'm laughing, because he's in his car out, you know, I don't have any words for this guy. So there are some people who ride by on their bikes, but they're so inconsequential that I don't say anything to them. Because they're out, they are also out. So what can I say?
As long as they're participating by being out and not stuck at home, you're like, you know what?
Yeah, they might realize like not everybody's dropped dead in like, 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. So, and the evidence, what I said to one guy, though, I said, listen, if we're all dead in 2 weeks, then you'll have your answer. But this is what we're here saying, that the evidence of this being
whatever
a very dangerous illness with a high mortality rate is not there. It's absent. And the evidence and data now do not support the actions that are being taken against us, period. Like, that's it. That's it.
Awesome.
Cool. I got one follow-up question to that. When you guys are, when the protest, you know, when the I don't want to say pro. I hate that word because I don't. This is not a protest. This is standing up for your liberties. When the rallies are done, I got to ask, does everybody clean up after themselves? Do you guys leave the areas clean? Because, you know, you see like the opposite, right? You've seen, I don't know if you've ever seen like the fallout from an Antifa rally, right? Where they destroy everything around them because they're dumb. You know what I mean? Graffitiing and leaving the garbage and everything. You guys clean up? Yeah, I mean, you know, you leave the area.
Yeah, no, it's really clean. It's really clean. In fact, there are a few signs, but people grab them. People take them with, you know, people go. It's just when they bring the horses, you know, the sheriff's horses. Of course, there's a lot of horse poop, but that's not the city will clean that up. It's not from the protesters. We're there to. Everyone is very respectful. You know, and it's, you know, here's the funny thing, because you know, when this first started and all the rules changed, so none of the restaurants could sell, you know, could have people in, but everything had to be to go. So Gavin Newsom, I guess, said, well, you guys can also sell your alcohol to go. So I wondered, like, how is this going to be? Because I had been in Huntington Beach a weekend, like on a day that wasn't a rally, and it looked like Mardi Gras. It was the most bizarre thing because I've grown up down there. So you cannot forget about it. You cannot drink. You cannot walk around. There were people, and these weren't, and it wasn't Mardi Gras in an out of control way. These were Huntington Beach residents. Most of them, a lot of them were older than I even am, out. Double fisting, you know, Bloody Mary and a beer, walking around, awesome. Sitting up, like it was. So part of me wondered, well, is this liberal alcohol law, you know, going to affect how this goes? And it hasn't. I mean, everybody is super respectful, at least, you know, where I've primarily been. And yeah, we all clean up after ourselves. We all love each other. It's been a great experience, and it's a fun atmosphere, but it's also heartbreaking when you meet the people who are really in a bad way.
Yep.
And we have a small business. So when this first started, I was really, really worried. I was really worried. And, my husband just kept going to work, we're really small. So it would be hard for anyone to notice, you know, that we weren't worried about being reported, but, he kept going to work, and some of our jobs got canceled because a lot of the events had been canceled, and we provide merchandise for events. So, we weren't sure how that would go, but we've been okay. You know, we've been okay. So now I'm really focused on just documenting and connecting with people who are not okay. I have a barbershop owner. He's in Westminster, and he's going to reopen tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow or Saturday, he said. But because he can't wait any longer. Mm-hmm. People are reaching the point where they're willing to face a fine or arrest because otherwise they're going to close.
Right. Right. Are there any events that, that you want to, share that, people can go out and support that are coming up?
The 23rd. So most everyone is, there are several groups that are independent of one another, but we all kind of, you know, we connect a little bit, and I really started the page, you know, as a hub. Like I wanted to promote everybody's event. Mm-hmm. So the Freedom Angels Foundation are having what they're calling Liberty Fest in Sacramento on May 23rd. And, they usually, for the last two events, they've chartered buses up from Orange County. So, hopefully they'll do that again. the consensus among a lot of people who were holding regional rallies is that they really want one event with big numbers. So the next event that I'm aware of that's really a big one is that everyone's planning for is May 23rd at the Capitol in Sacramento. It's being called Liberty Fest.
Liberty Fest. All right.
It's for families. It's for everyone. The Freedom Angels are bringing in porta potties. I mean, they know how to do this. They've done this before. And I think they might even charter a bus.
Any listener to the show that's living out in California and can make it out to Sacramento, we encourage you to show your support to reopen California. How can people support your group? Is there? Can you share your social media, any websites that you have? And maybe that way people can show their support to what you're trying to accomplish out there in California.
My page, again, is reopen.california. And that's a networking hub. And I'm kind of starting to go more local, holding a lot more local like meetups, even just so that like-minded people. So that's always a place where I'll post anything anyone sends me or anything I find. I would encourage people to go to Freedom Angels Foundation. If they want to support financially, you can make a $3 donation, with a donation in any increment. And that would be going toward the big event on May 23rd. I think they're going to charter a bus. Even they have done that for the last two events starts in Orange County. They make it really reasonable, $20 a person, $40 a family. Where you can do that is freedom.angels.eventsmart.com. So they have donation buttons set up. Also, people can follow at Fully Open California. They can go to wehaverights.com to find events. And I think that's it. Those are the people that I'm in contact with.
Perfect. We'll publish that also on the description of the episode for anybody who's interested in finding out more information. Thank you very much, Krista, for coming on the show. Thank you.
Let us know when the LA one's coming up. I'm very interested in that. Maybe, we can, me and Jeremy, since we're only a 6-hour car ride away, maybe, we could try to come out and, help support, depending how the schedules line up. Cause it's something that we're all very passionate about, right? We want to see this country, especially California. I mean, it's our neighbor, but it's more about, we want to all get back to normalcy, right? So we want to help those that are helping others, right? Because, it's easy to be, for me, it's easy to be behind a microphone and talk, but it's another thing being an essential worker for the cause. You know what I mean? That's just my take, right? I mean, I feel like I'm essential doing this, but you and everybody out there on the front lines trying to drive this home to people. So if I can sit there and try to help support any way I can, please let us know. We have contact and we can even promote some of the events as they come up, so that's what I got.
I would love that. I would love, thank you so much. Thank you all of your support and for even having me on and just promoting what we're doing. Thank you so much, and I will keep you, I'll send everything to you. That'd be great. And we'd love to have you in LA when I get LA figured out.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Krista from Reopen California. It's reopen.california. Search for them on Instagram. You'll find them there. We'll leave the links in the description of the show. If you are in California, Northern California, show your support. They're going to be out there in Sacramento for a rally out there next on the 23rd. Is that the date she said? 23rd?
Yep. Liberty Fest.
All right. So thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Salty Show. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. We will catch you all next time. Adios.
Peace.
See ya.